I'm an anchor to the rock.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Brother John. Amen. Brother Beverly. Thank you, Brother Harris, for the kind introduction that you gave to me. And I appreciate the kind words. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
And I'm just trying to keep on until Jesus says it's enough.
Amen.
I think the only reason I'm getting invitations now is because I have a singer. In fact, every preacher that invites me to come, they say, said, John Yates still driving you? Yes. Well, I want him to come to sing. So my invitations I'm receiving are mostly because they know him, not me. So my generation's passed off. They're all up there in heaven saying, when are you going to come home? So I'm also very thankful for Pastor Abel's inviting me to come in this pulpit once again. I'm thankful to you for being in the house of the Lord today. Things are looking up. Things are getting better. In a lot of ways, they're getting better as far as church attendance. We don't have any governor who says, you can't come to church, but we have a governor that encourages us to come to church.
Amen.
And thank God for that.
Yeah.
But also, we're getting ready for our mission conference. Brother John's here, you'll know in a minute. We're getting ready for our missions conference, and when Pastor invited me to come preach, he didn't say anything about missions per se, but he did say this will be before our missions conference, and I thought it was just 2 weeks before our missions conference, and so I prepared some message on missions, and I've got some new messages, and then also, and if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. By the way, Brother Mills, thank you for arranging to have my partner sing this morning. It worked out just right. Brother Moeller and choir, wasn't that choir great this morning?
Amen.
I mean, that choir was tremendous. You couldn't have 400 people instead of 40 and done better than rescue the perishing. And that's what it's all about.
Amen.
That's what missions is all about.
Yeah.
And the last song that we sung, tell the old story. The old story is always a new story.
Amen.
There's millions of people today that still need to have that old story. So you have your Bible. The reason I'm asking Brother Yates to read this Acts chapter 17. I'm preaching, actually, trying to build my message around First Thessalonians chapter 1. But the background to that is in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. And I'm my message, Lord willing, will be on essentials in the missions ministry of the church. Now, for those that may not know, my eyes are pretty bad, and they always want to act up when I get in the pulpit. But anyhow, that's one reason I've asked Brother John to read Acts chapter 17, verse 1 to 4. And if you'll stand with me, please, we'll read that. We'll have a word of prayer and be seated, and then you can turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. So how many brought your Bibles today?
Amen.
How many forgot your Bible? Nobody forget. Hold them up just a second. This is always a sign. Hey. Now, those in the front, turn around and look toward the back. But first, hold them up high. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Praise God, we have the infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
And it is a power that is exceeding. I'm going to be talking today for a little while on the essentials in the missions ministry of the local church. Missions ministry in the ministry of the church. Essentials. We'll get into that. But the background to this is because Paul was a church planter, and the church of Thessalonica was planted by Paul the Apostle along with his fellow team members, Silas and Timothy. So, Brother John, if you'll read those first four scriptures, Acts chapter 17, verse 1 to 4.
Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis...
The reason I had you read that scripture is because I couldn't read it.
Yeah.
Even verse number one is a tough one.
Even with good eyes, I'm not doing much better.
Amphipolis. Go
now,
ahead.
Then they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few.
Amen. Bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're able to be in the house of God today. I'm personally thankful, Father, for my church, the Berean Baptist, for their stand for the faith and stand for the word and magnify our Savior. And the goal of our church has been and is rescuing the perishing, caring for the dying. And we still have a story to tell, and I pray, Lord, you'll help us to tell that story today again. We thank you, Father, for the joy of our pastor being able to be in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And he'll be preaching there in a few minutes, Sunday school time there now, and he'll be preaching. God, I pray your Spirit will be upon him. Empower him by your Spirit, and may that church have a great victory at our Faith Promise Missions Conference. And our Father, for our church, as we look forward to our missions conference following next Lord's Day, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and then the missions conference, I pray, Lord, that you'll prepare our hearts for a great conference again this year. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that are able to be in the house of God. Bless all, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we will be basing upon that portion of Scripture of a church that was planted by Paul the Apostle. The Apostle Paul, and of course, you think about missions. When you're thinking about missions, you must remember that there are essentials that belong to missions. I've chosen the name Essential because I was in a missions conference several months ago, and the theme of that conference was essentials. Now, I've used the word important. All of us use the word important, but when you use the word missions is important, that's an overall thing, which is right. It's scriptural. But when you think about essential, that means it's something you cannot do without. And so today, a few essentials. We'll not take all, there are many, but I want to just cover three or four, maybe as the time allows. I'm talking about essentials. The essentials that is important in the missions ministry of the local church. And so we'll find that in the book of 1 Thessalonians because the Apostle Paul established that church. I'm actually getting the cart before the horse because Acts chapter 17 is where Paul was coming to the Thessalonians. But before that, he was sent out by a church. Every missionary needs a sending church. Amen. And you all probably already know that the Apostle Paul, along with his first traveler, was Barnabas and John Mark. Not this John Mark, but that John. But anyway, he spells his Mark different anyhow. But anyhow, it all started in Acts the 13th chapter. You remember, in the church, not the club, nor the county seat, or Congress, but it was in the church. There were certain teachers and prophets. And then the Holy Ghost said, separate me these unto the work that I've called them. And Paul and Barnabas were separated, and then the church laid hands on them. They fasted, and that's an essential that we don't know much about these days. But anyway, if we fast, we do it for a different reason mostly. But anyway, when they had prayed and fasted, or fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. That was on Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them away. So you have there, which would be two of my principles toward the end: the goers and the givers. You had to have the goers when the church, but you also had the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about today as an essential. So that's Acts chapter 13. They went on their first missionary journey, and when they finished the missionary journey, they came back. And you'll find that at the end of the 14th chapter, they came back to the church at Antioch. They gave a report and spent a whole year. They were there on furlough, I guess, for a whole year. Finally, at the end of that year, Paul said to Barnabas, you know, I think we need to go and visit the churches that have been established in our first journey. And so they said, that's agreeable. So they started to go on their second journey. But Barnabas, who had a nephew by the name of John Mark, who had been with them on their first journey, but he had not stayed with them all the way. And Barnabas said, I think we need John Mark to go back with us. The Apostle Paul, for whatever reason, said, no. He said, I don't think we need to have Barnabas. And the contention was so great between them, as you read there in the 14th chapter, 15th chapter, the contention was so great that Barnabas took John Mark and went one way, and he started a new fellowship. The Baptists are good for that. And then Paul, he chose Silas and started on his journey. Well, they're going to visit the churches, but if you read the 16th chapter, you get there, Paul was going through these churches, and all of a sudden he had a vision in the night, and the vision was to come over into Macedonia and help us. And Paul recognized that the Holy Spirit was directing him as he had at the very beginning in the church at Antioch. And so the Apostle Paul was answerable to the Spirit of God, for it says there in 16 of Acts, verse number 9, immediately they didn't argue. They said, well, Lord, we need to think about this a little bit. We need to pray, because they were going to go into the Western Hemisphere where the gospel had not yet gone. Instead of visiting the church where they'd been before, they were going to make the journey going westward. That's also very good, because that's where we got the gospel from, that area. But anyhow, Paul with Silas, he started on that journey. They came to Troas, and immediately they took a boat that took them over to Macedonia, or into Macedonia, and they came into the place. And then the first town that they visited, or town, was Philippi. Well, God had led them there. The church, if you remember all of the trouble at Philippi, there was a multitude of trouble. The Apostle Paul was put in jail, and yet Paul and Silas, but also they had gotten a hold of this young man, Timothy. All right. So they're in Philippi. They get a church started, and we'll go into that. That's another sermon, of course. And so there, from there they went to Thessalonica. And that then brings you to Acts, or 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Now, I'm going to try to read this, but anyway, I want you to know. So when you get to, when Acts went on the journey to Philippi, they came to Thessalonica, those verses that Brother John Yates read to us. They came there, and there was a synagogue there, and for 3 weeks, Paul reasoned among those in the synagogue. And then you had, as he read to you that scripture, and there were a multitude of those that believed, and that consorted or agreed with Paul and believed what Paul did and believed. There was a great multitude that believed, of the Greeks and then of the women, not a few. So they had a pretty good group of people that heard the gospel, repented to it, and the church was established. Now a few years passed by, and the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 1 to 10. Now, I'm going to try to read it, and the reason I didn't have Brother Yates read this, because I want to make some comments as the journal along. So if you look there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, I want you to see the first essential. As I said a while ago, there are some things that are essential. There are a lot of things that are important. In the physical realm, let me just kind of throw this in as we go along. There are some things in the physical that are very essential. If I were to ask you, probably what is the number one essential that you and I need to stay alive? Well, probably you say, well, air. God provides air to breathe. If you don't have air to breathe, you're not going to live long. So anyway, air. But also the basic essential is water. If you don't have water, you're not going to survive. And, of course, we got the water of life. That's another story, too. But anyhow, that is an essential. Now, also, I say that to say this. So there are many things that are important in the church. You know, you might be able to get by without music, but it's important, but it could be not, if you don't have the music, you get by. You follow what I'm saying? And there's some other things that are important in the church. I think it's important to take up an offering in the church. By the way, if you're visiting today, this is the most unusual church when it comes to money. The preacher never says anything about it, and yet our offerings are out tremendous. God bless us. And if you're visiting, I'm going to sidetrack just for a second here. I'm a little bit amazed, and it brought up a story in my mind. But if you want to give your offering, after all through this past year, there's an offering plate there on the table in the back. So, but if you come in to put your offering, you come in, don't know what to do with the offering, you can't see the offering plate because the Sanhedrin are standing back, or not the Sanhedrin, whatever they are. There's about five of them lined up in front of the table where the offering plate is. So if you want to put your offering envelope in the offering plate, you've got to reach around those guys to get it in the plate. I mean, it takes some doing to get an offering in this place. But if you need an offering envelope, You don't find one pew. You have to look on either side of the wall back there, and you can find it. You can find an offering. I put my offering in. I picked up a replacement. So they expect me to come back next week and bring this with me. Okay. We do the same with all of us. Also reminds me of a little boy. They were having a meeting at the church, a special meeting, and 8-year-old Billy was going to go to Sunday school and church, and his mother was not able to go, so Billy went on his own, walked down to the church, went in there, and he had his money. Pastor standing right, they had a plate back there. Pastor standing right by the plate, and pastor said, "Hey, good morning, Billy. Go on in and make yourself comfortable. Sit wherever you want to." So Billy, he ordered, first of all, his mother gave him a dollar bill for the offering. So he goes in, he sits down, service is all over, he comes home and has a great big candy bar. And mother says, "Where'd you get the money for that?" He said, "You gave it to me." And he said, "That was for the church." She said, "I know, Mama, but when I came in, the pastor was standing there, right there by the plate, and he said, 'Good morning, Billy, go right on in.' He said, 'It was free today.'" Has nothing to do with the sermon. Now, if you look at verse number 1, this is the first essential. For in verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, who had joined the crowd, joined the team, and joined Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church, which is in the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, "Grace and mercy, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse number 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Verse number 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." In those three verses, you have three times where you identify as God the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus, they were the goers. They had received their commission from the church at Antioch. They had been to Thessalonica and started the church of the Thessalonians there in Thessalonia. And so the church had been established, and now, as I've already said, years later, Paul is writing a letter back to the church, and he reminds them, first of all, that this Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church, which is in God the Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you didn't hear it right then, Paul's emphasis there, he says, "Peace unto you and grace and peace to you in the name of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So the first essential is that you have to have a church that has been ordained and ordered by God the Father. Amen. This is a divine institution. Now we know the building is the house that we meet together, we worship, we sing and praise God, fellowship one with another. But the church is a body. What is the church? It's a body of born-again, baptized believers who assemble themselves together for the purpose of worshiping, but also for fellowship and for propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel has to go forth. You'll see that in these next verses here. So I say to you, beloved, today, that in order to be a church that God blesses and God honors, it has to be a church that has been established by God the Father in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a church that has to magnify God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a New Testament church, and this is an essential that we recognize that we are not a civil organization, we are not a state organization, we are not a denominational organization, we are a divine institution propagated by God the Father, God the Son. So he emphasized that three times in those first three verses. And he also makes mention of Paul said in verse number 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love." I say those are essentials. They're important, very, very important, but that's just part of what we do. If you do not have love in your heart for lost people, God loved you, you need to love others. Love your neighbors, yourself, etc. So he said, "I thank God I remember without ceasing your work of faith." are all we do in regard to missions. I say all we do. It might be, some might just do by tradition or just by habit or whatever. But we ought to be mindful that what we're doing for the cause of Christ in world evangelism is that we are working by faith. The just shall live by faith. Our stewardship, our salvation, our stewardship, and all that we do, the just shall live by faith. So he commends this church. He said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith. And you'll see what was that work of faith in the next few verses. Also, he said, talks about and your love, your work of faith and your love and your labor of love. You've got two things, work and labor. There is a difference. Well, probably that's one of those muscle minutes, yes or no. Work is what we do. Labor is how we do it. There are a lot of people that ask, work, what's your work? Well, my work is preaching. But if you don't just really prepare for it, it's just a job. But in God's work and in all that we ought to do, it is, we need to not only have a work, whatever our profession, whatever our work, how you do it is what, how you labor. Yeah, right. The success of it is labor. So Paul commends them for their work of faith, but their labor of love. And then he says more than that, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, moving on down. So that's the first one. If the main essential principle, the first word is God, it starts with the letter G. The second principle I want you to note, look at verse number 4, or verse 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, knowing your election of God. I believe that the sovereign God ordained a Berean Baptist Church, what, some 60 years ago? It was ordained of God, it was organized, and you have been a New Testament, God-honoring, Christ-fearing, Bible-preaching church. And it's a missionary church. We are really a missionary church. So he said, I had remembered all that now. He said, for in verse number 5, notice here, this is essential. Also, the word starts with the letter G. You have God as a prime direct point, essential. And then in verse number 5, he said, for our gospel came not unto you only. Let me try it again. For our gospel came not unto you in our word only, but also in the power and might of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he says, and in such and in much assurance, as you know, what manner of man we were with you for your sake, verse number 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Now there's two words there that are essential. The gospel. The gospel is essential. You cannot, without the gospel, we have no message. What is the gospel? It is what we're going to be celebrating here in the next week or two. It's the cross, from the cradle to the cross, to the tree, to the cross, for resurrection, and it's a resurrection which is the gospel. Amen. That's the old, old story that never wears out. Amen. Tell me the old, old story again and again. And this is it. You cannot have a New Testament church, missionary church, without recognizing that what the world needs tonight, today, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to have the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that is an essential. It's an essential. You can't, churches that have some kind of a little social program and whatever, without the gospel, without the Bible, you know, they might go into the pulpit with the Bible and give some little social address. And they might even mention the word gospel, but if they're not compassionate about it, if they're not passionate about what the gospel is, the Apostle Paul was saturated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. From the time that Paul was saved, and you take all his writings, 100 times the word gospel is mentioned in the scripture, no less than 100 times, 60 times it is referred to by the Apostle Paul. Paul was saturated with the gospel. The reason I know that is because in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He didn't say Paul the apostle. Paul said, he didn't say a servant of Rome, a servant of the church. He said, apostle, Paul, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel. Amen. He was separated unto the gospel. This church must continue to be separated unto the gospel. It is a pure gospel. It is a precious gospel. It is a gospel, as Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I say to you, believe, one of the essentials that we need for a mission church is not only to have God as our leader, God as our recognized as our divine founder, but also the gospel. Now, thirdly, I want you to notice in verse 5 and 6 again. He speaks there in verse number 5, verse number 6, that, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received a word of received a much word in much affliction. The Apostle Paul, and then he said, but in joy of the Holy Ghost. That's an amazing statement. So, but anyway, Paul, he recognized the persecution. I don't know what Paul thought when the spirits of God said, and come over to Macedonia and help us. And immediately they went there, and immediately they got into Philippi, and they ended up in jail. And they were persecuted here in this church in Thessalonica. It was persecution. You might have thought when Paul finished his time there in Philippi, he said, this going west is a mess. This going west, I think I want to go back to Asia Minor, where we already got some churches, we got some friends. And so, but he didn't. He pursued. Our missionaries that go off into far-flung country of the world, and I'll say more about that tonight, I think. But anyhow, as they go into the world, they are invaders. I don't know of a missionary that has been invited by any country to come over into Rome, or come into Australia, or come into Egypt, or come into anywhere, and you, hey, we want you to come. Do you know anybody that, we are invaders. We invade like an army, and we're going after the enemy. I mean, we do have an enemy to face. So Paul said, but we entered into, but the Holy Spirit said, and what do you have? You have the Holy Spirit, and you know, and I'll not go into a lot of detail, but when you read the 14th chapter and 15th chapter and the 16th chapter of the book of John, you have there given, you have there, well, if I find it here, my scripture, you have there given to us the Holy Spirit. He had said in John, I've got more Bible in my here than I have in over here inside of me, almost, not quite. Paul said in Acts chapter 14, I should know it by memory. Paul said in Acts chapter, or in John rather, in John in chapter 16, verse number 14. You know, look, if you have your Bible, you might just look at that verse, because this is the next word with the letter G. He says in John's Gospel, John chapter 16, verse 14, and he'd already told them that, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter. When he said, I'm going to the cross, I'll be risen from the dead, I'm going to send back to heaven, which he did. And he said, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. And so he sent to them, he said, I am sending you a comforter, or one that goes alongside of. I'm sending you a one. And where is the Holy Spirit today in your life and mine? If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And he is there for the purpose. We are not alone. Jesus is with us because he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But when you look at John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, which by the way is truth. Truth. The Word of God is truth. That's an essential. But anyway, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will do what? He will guide you. So I'm saying to you that the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the local church, in the power of the church, depends upon how we behave with the Holy Spirit. You remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Prior to that, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And then he said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, ye shall receive power after what? After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. We witness when we are submitted and committed to the Spirit of God that dwells within us. So, the Holy Spirit, I say, is a great essential. You cannot, the power of God is upon the church and upon individuals to soul winning, to witnessing, and to missions in giving and going, whatever we do. It is because of the direction of the Holy Spirit. Why did Paul go into Macedonia? Why did Paul go there? He was guided. Why did he leave the church at Antioch? I mean, he was a teacher there at Antioch, at Barnabas, and then all of a sudden God comes down. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, unto the work that I've called them. And then they, when they had prayed and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, and laid hands and sent them out. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is vital. It is essential in our church, not only for missions, but in everything we do. We ought to be mindful, and we need it. We are mindful, but we need to be reminded that without the Spirit of God, you cannot do the work of God in the way that God wants the work to be done. Well, there's lots of work being done. There's a lot of work in fundamental churches that are doing some things, but not doing what they could do if they depended upon the Spirit of God that dwells within and within the congregation itself. They could do far more if they had the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. He dwells within us. He wants to help us. I'm reminded of a story that I read or heard. There was in days gone by, you had these door-to-door salesmen. There used to be the Watkins salesman. There used to be a Fuller Brush. Anybody ever buy anything from a Fuller Brush salesman? Well, you have to be 90 years old to know that. I didn't see any hands. But way back when, there used to be these salespeople that went out, Fuller Brush, P&G Soap, a guy that became the soap man of soap, anyway, about the... There was a sermon in later times, and I remember early days of Baptist Bible College, there were young men, students, that go to class, and then they sold Tupperware, they sold pots and pans, and some of you that might have done, if you're here, you know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, there was this young man, he was a salesman, door-to-door salesman, but he sold vacuum sweepers. Well, he was going out, he'd been in his town, and he said, I'll go out to the country and go out and see if I can find anybody out in the country. So he drives out down the country road, probably in Ozark somewhere, but he drove down this country road, dirt road, and he sees a house sitting off over here, just off the road a little bit in the pasture, and he knows there's the door with a screen door on, and the door is open. Well, he pulls up in that yard, and he gets out his vacuum sweeper, and his little bag, and he goes up to the door, and the lady come to the door, and he said, I've got something, lady, that you just absolutely cannot do without. I've got a vacuum cleaner here that will clean your floors. In fact, it is so good that when I take it and give you a demonstration, if I'm not careful, it'll suck the rug up. Well, by this time, he had his foot in the door, and he was in the house, and sitting down in a chair in front of a fireplace. They didn't have television, they didn't have radio, didn't lots of things. But anyway, he gets there, and he's giving his spiel, and he pats this little vacuum sweeper on top, and he said, ma'am, he said, this is something else. And he took a little bag of dirt, poured it on the rug, didn't have a carpet, just a rug there, and put this little dirt on the rug. And then he reached over, because the fireplace was real close, he reached over and took a little scoop and cleaned out the ashes. He took a scoopful of ashes and poured it on top of the dirt. And then he said, lady, and he started unraveling his cord. He said, ma'am, he said, if this little machine here doesn't pick up this dirt, every speck of it, he said, I'll eat it with a spoon. She reached over, her teacup was there, a little spoon in there. And when he unraveled the cord and was looking around, he said, where's your plug-in? And she handed him the spoon. Said, sir, we don't have any electricity here. Now, that may be a kind of a crude illustration. But I'm telling you, if you do not have the power. That vacuum sweeper had to have a plug in. It had to have power. And if you don't have the power, you might have to be cleaning things up with a scoop or a spoon. But I'm saying to you, beloved, we then cannot do the work of God without the essential power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's an essential. Now our time is gone. Let me just give you the rest of it. Let me just quickly just mention. So I'm saying to you, not only God essential, guidance of the Holy Spirit essential, the gospel is essential, and then we have to have the goers and the givers. You cannot have the work done unless you have those that will go. That's why when they had prayed and fasted and laid hands on them in Acts the 13th chapter, that was all about. They had the power of the Spirit of God. They had the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they had the church behind them that sent them and supplied them. You have to have the goers, that's the next G, and you have to have the givers, that's the next G. And that's where we are. You'll get more of that as we come into our mission. And you're also a great church. It is unexplainable. I was talking to someone this week. Anyway, I made comment. I said, you know, we have a goal in our church of 300,000 for missions. We've been running with the streamers, live streamers, and those that are in attendance, probably 275, 300 people. Our goal for missions this year is 300,000. And I said, we're going to go over it. They said, that's incredible. Oh, I know, it's a preacher that you and I are going to be with. Where's John? It's a preacher you and I are going to be talking to him on the phone. Now tell him about our church. He said, that's amazing. It is amazing. Amen. 6 months ago, when I preached the last time, it was 6 months ago, because I looked at the bulletin, and in the bulletin, we were right at halfway, 150,000. About 3 weeks or so ago, Pastor and I were talking a little bit, and he said, I think we're going to make it. And if you looked at the bulletin this morning, we've got, instead of two, I think we had maybe two Sundays, Brother Mills, two Sundays, end of the month, 1st of April starts the new year, right? We still have today and two more Sundays, I think. That means, if you looked at the bulletin today, don't look at it too long because you'll delay me here. 294,000. And that's getting awful close. We'll just see what happens. I told the pastor when he said, I think we're going to make it. I said, yes, I think we're going to go to probably 310,000. So let's see how close we are, okay? We know we're going to make it because 294,000. And unless the rapture takes place and you all pass out, we can't miss it. So we can't miss it. That only by the grace of God. Amen. That's only by the grace of God. Yes, you have the goers, you have the givers, and I want to close with this. I want to close with this. If you, I've gone past by all these others, but look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. An amazing thing. Did I see in your closing song, Rejoice? Is that what it's all, or is that right? Anyway, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Say, for what is our hope? What is our crown of rejoicing? And are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? For ye are our glory and joy, the crown of rejoicing, souls that are saved. Souls at Thessalonica and at Philippi were saved in Daron, Berea, Ephesus, all the places when Paul and Barnabas went out from the church at Antioch, and they went forth, and when it was all said, Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, and what is our joy? In spite of persecution, in spite of other pressures from every side and every hand, poverty, prison, whatever it might be, what Paul said, what is our joy? It's the treasures laid up yonder in glory. This is our glory. That's the word, glory. He says there in that text again, the crown of rejoicing. He said, what is our crown? What is our crown? What is our crown? The glory. He said, what is our hope of joy? Our crown of rejoicing. Our, if it's you, he said, you in the presence of our Lord at his coming.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
That's the glory.
Amen.
So you have it all the way through, from God the Father, through the church, to the cross, through the church, to the world. And when it's all said and done, glory, our glory,
amen,
is not in 300 and some thousand dollars. All right, that's part of what we've done. But the purpose of that all is that it spreads out to 100 missionaries scattered around the world in our training centers, all for one purpose, the souls of men. It is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's our crown of rejoicing. And that's what Paul said. Well, you know what? This church will receive the crown of rejoicing in glory, where our treasure's laid up. You think it's worth it all? We're talking about missions today. We're going to put it into action. Put it into action here in about 3 or 4 weeks, and let's see what God will do. Not only financially, but young. By the way, tonight, all your teenagers and all your teenagers and junior hires, these two rows are reserved for you. There's room for you. I'm going to do a little something tonight that I hope the pastor won't be embarrassed, and I hope you won't get mad. But anyhow, don't miss the service tonight. Now, closing, what is our hope? Our hope is built upon Jesus' blood and his righteousness.
Amen.
Nothing else. You're here in the audience today, and you say, well, all of this talk, all these essentials, I'll tell you what, it is essential that you be born again.
Amen.
If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, regardless of the age, if you do not know for sure this morning that you're on your way to heaven, I want you to step out of your seat when we sing a song in a moment, and I want someone to take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it means to be born again.
Amen.
When you're born again, that means... How can you be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If thou can believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's the resurrection. If you can believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and God will save your soul if you trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was the first message at the church of Philippi, the first church in the Western Hemisphere. When the Philippians did, they said, what must I do to be saved? Paul, bleeding and tormented in prison along with Silas, and they've been singing, what must I do to be saved? They said, clean up my bloody body, get me out of this hole. No, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. And Christian, if you're not depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit to use you with the Word of God to testify and witness, let's hit the altar today and have an old-time revival.
Amen.
Filled with the Spirit of God, going forth to witness, that is our mission. Missions is soul-winning worldwide. Are you saved? Are you serving? Let's stand together, please. Thank you for your patience. Bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the joy of being in the house of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for recognizing these essentials, and there are many, many more. But there's none more important than to know that we are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you saw fit to save us. And we know your blood washes whiter than snow. And our duty is to rescue the perishing, which was sung so wonderfully this morning by the choir. Rescue the perishing. God, help us as we think about our missions conference, not just another week, not just another tradition, but it might flood our souls. It might endear us to say, oh, God, help me to have faith. Help me to do, help me to live and believe. And Father, for that one-man service today, There may be a young person here this morning that has not as yet received Christ as personal Savior. I pray they might step forth today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, the Spirit of God speaks, and we have the Word of God to show. I pray, God, this might happen this morning. And then, Father, for all of us who named the name of Christ and part of this church, from this pulpit speaking to the for the last pew in the church, God, help us to be mindful we cannot do anything that brings any merit at all unless we have the power of the Spirit of God on our lives. Oh, God, anoint us today with thy Spirit and save the lost and strengthen the saints. And we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing this morning, a verse of song.
Page 503. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Enjoy. 503. Oh, amen. I thought this was it. Okay. What page is it? I didn't give the
503.
Page. You got the page? I think you probably know it. But let's just ask God to guide us today. Will you come while we sing? All right. Saved, I need to be saved. Come. You hear the Savior calling? Come today. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Where he leads me.